economic reforms, we've had to make some changes, and these changes have been initiated by the Zambian government, supported of course by the IMF, but it has not been an imposition. It is something that we ourselves felt is something that needed to be done. Let's take the example of removal of subsidies. The subsidy that has been removed is a subsidy on fuel, because we used to spend something like $500 million in the past subsidizing the price of fuel. At the time when we were doing that, at the time when government was subsidizing people driving cars, who generally tend to be slightly better off compared to, yes, there's poverty everywhere, but he who owns a car is normally slightly better off compared to the average person. At the time when we were subsidizing the fuel, millions of children could not go to school because their parents were not unable to pay school fees. Their parents were unable to put them in boarding. We did not have enough teachers. At most schools, maybe you had only one-third of the required number of teachers. We did not have sufficient health center facilities. We even were walking 30 kilometers to get to the nearest health center, even for delivery. So we said to ourselves, surely it is better to take this money that we are subsidizing on fuel so that we can send all the children to school, so that we can hire more teachers, so that we can build more clinics. So yes, money was moved from fuel, but the same amount of money was taken back to society to do things that we thought were more valuable for the country, sending children to school, building more clinics, hiring teachers. So the hardships that you talk about, yes, you can say that those who drive now face hardships, but I think the beneficiaries are more, and also the quality of where the money is being spent, in our view, is more important.
Dr. Situmbeko Mosokotwane is Zambia's finance minister. He spoke with me from here in Washington, D.C. A Zimbabwean actress battling cancer has asked wealthy citizens to buy a radiotherapy machine for her because she says the country's only. As Colombo's Mavunga reports for VOA from Harare, many blame Zimbabwe's higher mortality rate among cancer patients on the country's poor state of healthcare.
Tinopona Tintin Katsande, a Zimbabwean actress, says she's almost done with her treatment for cervical cancer at a private hospital. She says the government hospitals had no working radiotherapy machines, so her family helped raise money for radiation therapy at a private hospital. Katsande says she has met other cancer patients who have not been so lucky.
My peers that I have met in support groups, just last, when I penned that, I lost six women with such potential and with such vibe and with such power that had been taken down, you know, through cervical cancer, particularly even, because treatment cannot be completed without the service of the radiotherapy.
Jennifer Juliet Mugonda from Kadoma, a mining town about a two-hour drive southwest of Harare, has cancer too. She says doctors at a local government hospital asked her to stop going there and seek help at a private hospital about 400 kilometers away near Zimbabwe's border with Mozambique. She has not been treated for cancer for about 3 years now. She fears for the worst.
I am still surviving, but I know where I am going. Cancer kills. So I am finished. So what I know is my failure to get treatment is leading to my death.
Zimbabwe's Minister of Health did not confirm or deny claims that government hospitals have no working radiotherapy machines and declined viewers' request for further comment. Katande is asking the country's wealthy citizens to help people like Mugonda.
Some way, somehow, we've got to come together to buy at least one radiotherapy machine. You cannot holistically treat cancer without a full treatment, and one important part of it is the radiotherapy. Without the machine, that cannot be done.
According to Zimbabwe's latest figures, the number of new cancer cases more than doubled to 7,800 from 2009 to 2019. The Zimbabwe Cancer Registry says about 85% of cancer patients delay treatment until it's too late.
The cost of treatment is high, and also the knowledge among the population is very limited. Cancer knowledge is very limited, so a lot of people are likely to delay to be diagnosed of the disease.
Meanwhile, Jennifer Juliet Mugonda is trying to raise money so that she can finally get the medication and treatment she needs at a distant private hospital. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. But first, Sudan's military and a powerful paramilitary force battled fiercely Saturday in the capital and other areas, dealing a new blow to hopes for a transition to democracy and raising fears of a wider conflict. Doctors groups reported at least 27 dead and 180 wounded, with the toll expected to rise. The clashes capped months of heightened tensions between the military and its partner-turned rival, the Rapid Support Forces Group, or RSF. Those tensions had delayed a deal with political parties to get the country back to its short-lived transition to democracy, which was derailed by an October 2021 military coup. Chaotic scenes unfolded in the capital of Khartoum, where fighters firing from truck-mounted machine guns battled in densely populated neighborhoods. By the end of the day, the military issued a statement ruling out negotiations with the RSF, instead calling for the dismantling of what it called a rebellious militia. The head of the paramilitary group, in turn, branded the armed forces chief a criminal. The tough language signaled that the conflict between the former allies, who jointly orchestrated the 2021 coup, was likely to continue. Meanwhile, diplomatic pressure appeared to be mounting. Top diplomats, including the U.S. Secretary of State, the UN Secretary General, the EU Foreign Policy Chief, the head of the Arab League, and the head of the African Union Commission, urged the sides to stop fighting. It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. Ahead of the knockout phase of the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup, the continental governing body is organizing an elite referees course in Cairo to equip referees ahead of the crucial weekend. The course will have 70 participants, comprising of 25 referees, 30 assistant referees, 5 video assistant referees, 5 instructors, and 2 VAR technicians. The program, which extends over 5 days, will end on Tuesday, the 18th of April, and will see the training focus on sharpening the skills of match officials with special emphasis on incidents in the penalty area, offside position, game management, tactical fouls, and handball. This will be coupled with more practical teaching on positioning and reading of the game, VAR sessions, and training on the pitch with simulations. In swimming news, South African Olympian Roland Schoeman bagged second place in the 50 meters freestyle at the National Aquatics Championships on Saturday night in South Africa. After a 7-year hiatus from national contention, 4-time South African Olympian Roland Schoeman was thrilled to be back in the pool as he finished behind Peter Kotze, who is 24 years younger than him, with a time of 22.89 seconds. The 42-year-old by that timing qualifies for the World Championships. He describes his performance as exciting and owed it to discipline in and out of the pool.
You know, you're always in a race with 7 other people, so it's rare that you look at age. You're just racing. So I was trying to get from point A to point B as quick as you can. But he's incredibly talented. You know, he's a big kid, sprints well, 100's amazing, 200's good. So it's just special to be able to hop on the blocks and be, you know, having been gone for so long and to be back and to be able to be competitive at this level is really special. Oh gosh, I work out every single day. I eat well. I stay away from junk food. I surround myself with really special people and try not to bring myself down at any point in time. And I think that really counts a lot.
In athletics, world record holder and current world champion in the 100 meters hurdles, Nigerian Toby Amusan opened her 2023 outdoor season with a 12.59 seconds effort to finish second in the finals of the Tom Jones Memorial Invitational at the Percy Beard Track in Gainesville on Saturday. Nia Ali of the United States won the race with a time of 12.53 seconds to pick up the gold medal. 2022 world indoor champion Divine Charlton of Bahamas completed the top three after running a time of 12.64 seconds to finish third. Saturday's meet was Amusan's second competitive appearance since she successfully defended her Diamond League 100 meters hurdle title in September 2022 with a meeting record of 12.29 seconds. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports.
Would you like to be famous? Calling us on WhatsApp may gain you fame if we play your message on the radio. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076. Here's that number again. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076.
Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. At the commencement of Russia's war in Ukraine, the Western powers imposed unprecedented sweeping sanctions against Russia aimed at limiting Russia's power to continue the war. Regrettably, these sweeping sanctions have been having unknown consequences for many in the global south, particularly as they may relate to the applying of sanctions on the SWIFT system, which for many decades have remained reliable to them, as well as freezing the assets of friends of Putin and freezing Russia's financial assets in Western banks. These developments have rattled many of the leaders in the global south because it introduces certain unpredictability in payment for international trade. As such, they were scrambling to find alternate means to the dollar to reduce their vulnerability. and many in the global south have already signed or reached understanding on the use of the national currency for international trade, particularly India, Russia, China have done so. The question for the rest of the global south is, what do they do? In the visit of Brazilian President Lula da Silva, he spoke extensively on this matter. He is urging states in the global south to do what he calls de-dollarization in their transaction for foreign trade. And as an example of the 15 agreements signed between Brazil and China, one is dedicated to an agreement whereby China and Brazil will use their national currency for trade between them. The issue for other African states might be more complicated, because de-dollarization will take a very long time and may be very cumbersome for African states on three grounds. First, many African currencies are very weak. Two, a number of Francophone states already have links with the euro. And for the rest, it is regrettable that many African states have already allowed their countries to be dollarized, even for small transactions. So it will be a major uphill fight for Africa. Last week, Kenyans were surprised when President Ruto announced that henceforth Kenya will be able to purchase oil and gas from some Gulf state by the use of Kenyan shillings. Despite the difficulties facing Africans, it is prudent for many of them to start looking at the implication of the continuing process of de-dollarization in international trade. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
I'm still your girlfriend, 'cause the girl them call me daddy, yeah. When I come to hide your girlfriend, 'cause I'm still your girlfriend, 'cause the girl them call me daddy, yeah. Bad girl come on to the baseline, anybody bad pass you be take high. Me I want to deal with you, me I want to roll with you, oh yeah. Where you are, where you are, where you are, take a time, take a time, take a time. 1+1=2, so make we do the do. Oh, yeah.
All the girls on, all the girls on, take it down low, take it down low.
Fiesta.
All the girls on, all the girls on, take it down low, take it down low.
Fiesta.
All the girls on, all the girls on, take it down low, take it down low.
friend. Cause the girl them call me daddy. When I come through, I your girlfriend. Cause I'm still your girlfriend. Cause the girls them call me daddy.
My name is Divine Tembeng Mba from Pretoria in South Africa, and you are listening to Nightline Africa from the Voice of America with Peter Clothe. Stay tuned and don't change the dial.
About VOA Africa, music, sports, and news.
Succession never come to you.
No.
Work and do what you gotta do.
Do what you got to do. Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Nobody
cares. Succession never come to you.
No.
Work and do what you gotta do.
Do what you got to do. Yeah.
Nobody really cares.
One God.
DJ Kamuka tell him.
Zimbabwe Ghana.
Pablo, coming to you from another. If you're making money, nobody hear what people say. Tell them don't block my way. Ah, yeah. Them used to think I'm funny when man hustle and hunt for me, but them want see me dead.
Collect the money then. Yeah. So the money every day. Yeah. Collect the money then. Yeah. You never listen to what them say. Do them things and the mother who has no get the money and live the life. From a dollar to a milli, don't despise. One end up in the world. Yo, God, remember, kudara kwangu, pasi na kana wanu. Chai batika, we. Chanaka bata, aji very fast. Now I pray it lasts, and that is forever. I'm working, and I'm shaking, I'm waiting, me anticipating. Kuma tinga, I praise him for this and other blessing. I show a girl in this world life.
Will never come to you. Work and do what you gotta do. Obey your say. Nobody really cares. Success will never come to you. Work and do what you gotta do. Obey your say. Ain't nobody really cares. If you're making money, nobody hear what people say. Tell them don't block my way.
Sana na wewe, siku tarajia kuwa mbali na wewe, akimeniacha babaya. Kutengana na wewe, imenibadilisha sana. Nimetamani nilewe, akina kunywa na staza manjambia. Nini watu rejina, haya mapenzi yalinogana. Kumbuka tulipeana majini. Leo baby kesho tomato mitandao. Changu na kigavimba nikawa kisemezeki. Inauma, inauma, lakini nitazoea. Inauma, inauma, lakini nitazoea. Aliye mwanaume duniani ni kuzoea. Aliye binadamu duniani ni kuzoea. Tukakubali tutapendana milele. Nyimbo, nyimbo, nyimbo tulizopenda za nikumbusha nga wewe. Kamisi, oh kamisi, kamisi na baika uliwacha na nusanga ndio milale.
And that was our Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English Service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English Service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Mike Holbrook, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, bad behavior reflects one's background. Your host Peter Clotte in Washington. Good evening, Africa.